The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. We have no sponsor for this month's program, but if you have any questions or would like to become a sponsor, please contact our office at 919-832-5138. Okay, let's get into the world of medicine from news from Reader's Digest. Sleeping with the fishes. Doctors have long touted for the benefits of omega-3 fatty acids from fish for better health. Now researchers from the University of Pennsylvania, who studied more than 500 Chinese children, have found that those who ate fish at least once weekly slept more soundly than those who seldom or never ate fish. One likely explanation is that omega-3 fatty acids help boost the production of prostaglandins, the body's own sleep-promoting substances. The subject who ate fish also scored 4.8 higher on IQ exams, perhaps because better sleep helps improve brain function. Processed meat and breast cancer. The risk of developing breast cancer increases by 20% for women whose diets include even small amounts of processed meats, such as bacon, hot dogs, and pepperoni, according to doctors in the United Kingdom. They analyzed data from more than 260,000 women and found that the breast cancer correlation applied to postmenopausal women who ate more than 9 grams of processed meat a day, the equivalent of about one pork sausage link per week. They found no association between red meat intake and the risk of breast cancer. Acne drugs can help early stages of MS. A small trial from the University of Calgary in Canada found that monocycline, a pill used for acne, can slow the progress of multiple sclerosis in patients who take it soon after experiencing their first symptoms. There are no oral drugs for this early stage of the disease, and more tests on monocycline are needed. But if you think it might be appropriate in your case, talk to your doctor about prescribing monocycline for this off-label but legal use. A frequently misdiagnosed type of diabetes. A British study recently showed that the majority of patients with a lesser-known type of diabetes, called type 3C, are misdiagnosed with type 2 instead. About 5 to 10% of all diabetes cases in Western countries are type 3C, which develop when the body has trouble producing insulin because of damage to the pancreas resulting from conditions such as pancreatitis, cystic fibrosis, or pancreatic cancer. By contrast, in the common type 2 diabetes, the body is unable to use insulin properly and eventually may also stop producing enough of it. The misdiagnosis puts type 3 patients at risk of not getting the treatment they need to avoid complications such as damage to the eyes or kidneys. Stripes trigger headaches and seizures. In a study published by the journal Current Biology, researchers from the Netherlands and the United States found that looking at repeating lines can set off a pattern of brain activity known as gamma oscillations, which can trigger headaches and in some people, and seizures in people with pattern-sensitive epilepsy. Vertical lines also cause more gamma oscillations than horizontal lines did, and narrower stripes cause more than wider ones did. While it's impossible to avoid looking at stripes completely, if you're prone to headaches, cover up radiator grills, don't draw your blinds, and look away from computers and TV screens regularly. All in a day's work. And the cartoon is two men in an office, one standing in front of the desk that looks like a senior executive who's reading a sheet of paper, and he says, "This is gobbledygook. I ask you for mumbo jumbo." A while back, my boss discovered the motivational quote, "Only in the dictionary does success come before work." He ordered a large banner for our work area with this improved version of the quote. The banner, which I can see from my desk, reads, "Only in the dictionary does success come before hard work." Scene. With a patient in my medical exam room. Me. "How old are your kids?" Patient. 44 and 39 from my wife, who passed away, and from my second wife, 15 and 13. Me, that's quite an age difference. Patient, "Well, the older ones didn't get me any grandkids, so I made my own." That's funny. My daughter received this email from a prospective student prior to the start of the semester. "Dear Professor, I won't be able to come into any of your classes or meet for any of the tests. Is this a problem?" Sports analysis. Sports analysts get paid to talk, not necessarily to make sense. "I had a feeling today that Venus Williams would either win or lose," tennis commentator Martina Navratilova. "There's nothing wrong with that car except it's on fire," racing comrade Murray Walker. "The wind is rushing from the player's rear," golf announcer Steve Melnick. I haven't had any more rain since it stopped raining, tennis commentator Harry Carpenter. I like to lightheartedly tell my coworkers, don't even talk to me until I've had my coffee. Then I never get coffee. While tallying up a customer's groceries, I sang along with the music playing over the PA system. Suddenly the customer, a sweet elderly woman, asked, what did you do with the money? What money, I asked. The money your parents gave you for singing lessons. Oh, that cuts deep. Wanted the backstory. Spotted in a variety of public places, these notices left us with just one question. What happened? Because of the incident on November 14th, Cheez-Its are no longer allowed in the cafeteria. In light of recent events, no Oreos will be allowed in the library. Ouija boards and seances are not allowed to be performed in this shop. No yo-yos, no bullwhips, no rollerblade, no shoes, no spurs, no candy. Cover story. From medication mix-up to surgical errors, dangerous falls to deadly infections. Hospital hazards can be harmful to your health. Here's how to stay safe and get well. 50 ways to survive your next trip to the hospital. You are part of the care team, says Dr. Pronovost. This is your body, and you have wisdom. And there's a picture of the bottom portion of a face of a young lady with nice long brown hair and a bandage on her finger, the wrist things you get in the library, and a thumbs up. As many as 440,000 Americans die every year from medical errors and infections contracted in the hospital. Combined, they are the third leading cause of death in the United States. Your best defense? Take charge of your care as much as possible. Ask a lot of questions, take tons of notes, and have a family member or friend there to advocate on your behalf. You are part of the care team, says Peter Pronovost, M.D., Ph.D., former Senior Vice President for Patient Safety and Quality at Johns Hopkins Medicine in Baltimore. This is your body, and you have wisdom. While some risks are beyond your control, these life-saving tips will help protect against some of the biggest perils you face in the hospital. First of all, choose the right place for your procedure. Don't just pick the closest facility. In an emergency, of course, you won't get to the nearest hospital fast. But if you're scheduling a surgery or a procedure, selecting the right hospital, medical center, or surgery center could save your life, even if it means paying more to go out of network. A 2016 study in the journal PLOS-1 found that patients at worst American hospitals were 3 times more likely to die during their stay and 13 times more likely to have complications than patients with the same health problems at the best hospital. The key questions to ask. Number one. How many times last year did the hospital perform the surgery you're getting? Multiple studies show that the more often a hospital does a procedure, the better the outcome will be. You're significantly more likely to have complications, sometimes fatal ones, than a facility that performs a surgery only once or twice a year, Dr. Provenos says. Number two, does the ICU have critical care specialists called intensivists? These specialists are expert on caring for sickest patients. Studies show they decrease medication errors by 22 to 70% and complications by 50%. More important, your risk of death drops 30% if an intensivist manages your care. Number three, what is the hospital's rate of catheter infections in the ICU? Low numbers indicate that the hospital has good safety and quality management, says Dr. Pronovost. Choose a hospital that has fewer than 2 bloodstream infections for every 1,000 days someone in the hospital has a catheter. Take steps to avoid misdiagnosis. Always ask, is there anything else it might be? This crucial question encourages your hospital healthcare providers to think about other possibilities, helping to reduce the risk of a diagnostic mistake, says Hardeep Singh, MD, MPH, a patient safety researcher at the Michael E. DeBakey Veterans Affairs Medical Center and Baylor College of Medicine in Houston. As many as 160,000 patients in the medical system die or suffer a significant permanent injury last year because a condition is misguided or missed, according to a report in BMI Quality and Safety. Such mistakes are especially common in the fast-paced environment of ER. A patient may come in with a headache, receive a migraine diagnosis, and suffer a stroke hours later. Consider a second opinion. If you've been diagnosed with a serious complex or a rare condition, or if you have any doubts about your diagnosis, seek out another doctor's insights before starting treatment. Research shows there's a 20 to 30% chance the second doctor's opinion will be different from the first. Even if the diagnosis is the same, you may learn new information about your treatment option. Call a bedside huddle. If your case is complex, ask whether your doctor can get all your care providers together to brainstorm possible diagnosis and come up with a plan for care, suggests Dr. Pronovost. One study found that bringing providers from different specialties together to talk about specific patients cut the number of adverse events almost in half. Happily, this has become an increasingly common practice in many hospitals. How to say it? I feel as if I'm hearing different things from different providers. Would it be possible to get everyone together to have a conversation about my care? Take charge of your test results. If you have a CT scan or a biopsy in the hospital, find out when the results will be in and how you'll be informed and make the doctor follow up. Also, ask the imaging center or lab to send the results to any doctor working on your case. Dr. Singh's research shows that about 7% of abnormal lab tests and 8% of abnormal scans get lost in a follow-up. Don't assume no news is good news, he says. Protect yourself from life-threatening superbugs. Be smart about antibiotics. Antibiotics fight infections, but they can cause them too. Because the drugs kill the protective bacteria in your gut, they increase your risk of picking up Clostridium difficile, C. diff, one of the deadliest hospital-acquired infections, says Arjun Sinaskam, M.D., a medical epidemiologist at the CDC. That's why the CDC no longer recommends antibiotics after an operation if you have no signs of infection. A 2017 study found that when doctors in British Hospital cut back on prescribing Cipro, Lovaquin, and other broad-spectrum antibiotics, the number of infections from C. diff bacteria dropped a whopping 80%. If your doctor prescribes you an antibiotic in the hospital, ask what infection you have and how long you need to take the antibiotic, Dr. Skivadin says. How to say it? I'm very concerned about picking up an infection. Do I really need this antibiotic, or can we wait? Clean your hospital room. Even though hospitals disinfect rooms between patients, studies show that up to 60% of hospital rooms are not cleaned properly. For extra protection, ask the nurse for some bleach wipes or bring your own. Bleach is necessary to kill C. diff. Wipe down the room or have a family member do it. Make sure you swipe in one direction only and don't turn the wipe over and use the other side or you'll risk contaminating your hand. Limit IVs, tubes, and catheters as much as possible. The longer you have one of these devices, the higher your risk of picking up a deadly infection, says Dr. Schenafison. If you need a catheter, ask whether intermittent catheterization is an option. It can lower the risk of infection by 20% or more. How can we say it? When can we try taking the tube, IV, or catheter out? Tell your doctor about diarrhea. Loose stools are the first symptoms of C. diff, which attacks the intestines. Sometimes patients don't tell anyone because it's embarrassing, Dr. Zavassian says. But it's really important to tell us, especially if you're getting or recently had an antibiotic. Brush your teeth. Bacteria in your mouth can find their way into your lungs, causing a nasty case of hospital-acquired pneumonia. Studies have found that good oral care while in the hospital cuts your risk by more than a third. If you're the family member of a patient who can't take care of himself or herself, ask the nurse to show you how to use a toothbrush or foam swab stick to clean the inside of your loved one's mouth, and do it at least once a day. Get your flu and pneumonia shots. Ideally, you should get these vaccinations before you land in the hospital. You can also ask for them once you've been admitted. Most insurance plans will pick up the cost. The CDC recommends getting two different pneumococcal shots at least 1 year apart if you are 65 or older, smoke, or have a chronic condition that weakens your immune system. Insist on hand washing. Good hand hygiene is your best weapon against hospital-acquired infections such as C. diff, methicillin, and resistant Staphylococcus aureus. The carbapenem-resistant, I want you to know there's probably 40 letters in this word, Enterobacteriaceae, a family of germs that includes Escherichia coli. Ask all providers and visitors to wash their hands with soap and water every time they enter a room. Don't forget to wash your hands before you eat and after you go to the bathroom. How to say it? I'm sorry, but I'm really nervous about infections. I know you are very careful. Would you mind washing your hands for me? Take special steps before any procedure. Ask to be screened for MRSA. Many people carry these super-resistant staph germs on their skin, and they're harmless as long as you're healthy. But if your immunity is compromised or they sneak in through the IV line or an incision, they can have a field day, causing pneumonia, sepsis, a life-threatening condition caused by an overwhelming immune response to an infection, or an invasive bloodstream infection, says healthcare safety expert Karen Curtis, author of Safe and Sound in the Hospital. Your doctor can test you for MRSA with a simple nose swab. If the test is positive, he or she can give you an antibiotic that targets the strain. Don't shave in the area of your surgery, and don't let the nurse do it either. Shaving leaves microscopic cuts and nicks that can become bacterial breeding grounds. The CDC now recommends that the hair near your surgery site not be removed unless it will interfere with the operation. If surgeons need to do it, they should use clippers, not a razor, says Dr. Scissorman adds. Shower with a disinfectant before you go to the hospital. Pick up some Hibiclina, a powerful antiseptic soap that will kill germs on your skin at your local pharmacy, and shower with it at home the night before and the morning of your surgery. Use it instead of regular soap or shower gel. What you're hoping to do is a little residue on your skin, says Dr. Basil, DP, medical director at Oklahoma Foundation for Medical Quality in Oklahoma City. Tell your doctor if you have an infection. Even a minor one, such as a sinus infection, can weaken your immune system and increase your risk of complications. The bacteria from something as simple as a tooth abscess can get into your bloodstream and cause a potentially life-threatening situation. You and your doctor can weigh the risk and discuss whether to delay your operation. Be the first surgical patient of the day. The room is cleaner, your surgery is less likely to be delayed, and your surgeon won't be as tired, says Jean Dawkins, RN, a surgical care nurse in Tucson, Arizona. If you're wheeled in around 4 p.m., you're four times more likely to have anesthesia-related problems, such as nausea and pain, as patients who have surgery before noon, according to a Duke University analysis published in Quality and Safety in Healthcare. The author speculated that discrepancy might be related to the doctor's or nurse's fatigue, swings in their circadian rhythms, or the fact that late-in-the-day surgical patients go all day without eating. Get screened for blood clot risk. Your risk of developing deep vein thrombosis, a condition in which dangerous blood clots form in a deep vein or the leg or another part of the body, is 10 times higher when you're in the hospital because surgery can release tissue debris and other substances that don't belong in your veins. Being confined to bed also raises your risk. Before your surgery, your doctor should take your medical history and give you a physical to determine your level of risk. If the screening shows you're at high risk, your doctor can start you on blood-thinning medication, recommend compression stockings, or use mechanical device to prevent blood from pooling in your legs. Dr. Provenos says, getting up and walking as soon as you can also reduces the risk. Ask for extra blankets. Surgeons like to keep the operating cold so they won't get overheated in their gowns and masks, and hats while working under the warm surgical lights. But research shows the chill and effects of anesthesia may give you mild hypothermia, which can cause cardiac arrest and increase your risk of infection. That's scary. For that reason, many anesthesiologists now use warning devices on patients during surgical procedure, and you should pile on the sweaters and blankets to stay warm before and after your surgery. Reduce your post-op risks. If you're at all unsteady, get help to go to the bathroom. Every year, 700,000 to 1 million patients fall in the hospital, and 30% to 50% end up with a serious injury such as a broken bone or a concussion. Wear skid-proof slippers and call the nurse before you try to get out of bed on your own, says critical care nurse Katie Kleber, RN, author of Admit One. People don't want to bother us when we have to go to the bathroom, so they wait until it's an emergency. Then they're in a hurry, which puts them at risk, she says. Use a clean washcloth on incisions. I've seen patients wash everything else, then use that same washcloth on their incisions, as Keisher says. Yuck! Follow your doctor's instructions on changing the dressing and caring for your wound, and always wash your hands before touching it. Request a physical therapist right away. Your conditions and muscle tone start to deteriorate after just a few days of bed rest, says Bobby Colonnet, RN, an aging life care manager in Pittsburgh. Even an intensive carrier can do bedside exercises, he says. This service is typically covered by insurance as long as your doctor deems it medically necessary. Ask your nurses to cluster your overnight care. Even though sleep is important for healing, most hospitals disturb patients multiple times during the night. If you ask, we can often cluster things together so you're not woken up so much, says Brittany Wilson, RN, a nurse in Nashville, Tennessee. especially communicate this request as soon as you meet your night shift nurse, Wilson says, so he or she can plan ahead. Prevent medication mistakes. Bring an up-to-date medication list, including all your prescriptions and dosages, along with any over-the-counter medicines and supplements you take. Many agencies, including the FDA and AARP, offer a medication list template you can download from the web. If you're tech-savvy, you can create an electronic record on your smartphone through a free app such as Carazone and MedSafe. Just make sure family members know how to access it. Don't distract your nurse when he or she is programming your IV. I'm dealing with a lot of numbers, your weight, how much is left in the bag, and the rate the doctors want it to go in. And messing it up can cause can be catastrophic, Kleber says. I often have to say to patients, hold that thought, let me focus here for a minute. Post a list of your medical allergies. The hospital may already list them on a whiteboard, but nurses could forget to check it, says Dawkins. Sometimes your nurse's mind might be wondering, she says. If you tape a sign over your bed that reads allergic to XYZ, he or she won't miss it. Avoid communication mix-up. Keep track of everything. It's easy to get confused and overwhelming in the hospital. Often I have patients who have no idea who was in their room, says Kevin Diallo, MD, Director of Quality Improvement and Patient Safety in Internal Medicine at Drexel University College of Medicine in Philadelphia. Write down your questions, the name of anyone who comes into your room, and a record of your conversations with him or her, or have a loved one fill that note-taking role. Repeat back what you heard. Studies show that patients immediately forget 40-80% of the medical information they receive, and nearly half of it, what they do remember, is incorrect. So when the medical staff shares an explanation or instruction, repeat what they said back in your own words to make sure you understand correctly. Ask for a bedside shift change. Many errors occur when care transitions from one nurse to the next. If nurses do the handoff in your presence, you can catch slip-ups and ask questions. Read behind your doctor. Studies show that mistakes in patient files often contribute to errors. Your chart lists an incorrect body weight, for example, leading your doctor to prescribe a too high dose of medication. Under the law, you have the right to see your medical record. A growing number of medical systems make it easy to access through an online patient portal. You can log in right from your smartphone in your hospital room. Check your record for accuracy and point out any errors. Some final safe tips. Get out of bed. You're inevitably going to spend a lot of time lying down, but try to get up as soon as you can. Being active helps prevent bed scores, blood clots, and pneumonia, and research shows you'll get out of the hospital sooner, says Dr. Bratchler. Ask a nurse or a family member to help you take a short stroll a few times a day. Have someone by your side. Nurses can't always get a room right away when the call bell and the monitoring alarm goes off. A friend or family member can help make sure medical staff respond quickly if there's an urgent need. I had a friend who went in for a routine hernia operation, Curtis says. The nurses told his wife that he was going to sleep for a few hours, so she went out to run errands. When she came back, he was brain dead. He'd had a bad reaction to anesthesia, vomited, and choked to death before the nurses got there. This might be a rare occurrence, but you don't want to be the one it happens to. Trust your gut. Something doesn't seem right, speak up. Tell the doctor if the drug he or she is prescribing didn't work. The last time you tried it or you noticed changes in a loved one's condition. Sometimes the family will say, I know it doesn't look different, but he seems confused, says Dr. Pronovost, and sure enough, he's developing an infection. When Dr. Pronovost's team examined adverse events at hospital, they found that in an astonishing 90% of cases, someone knew things were going wrong, but the person didn't speak up or wasn't heard. Ask to record discharge instructions. Study after study has documented that many patients don't remember or understand what they do after they leave the hospital, meaning they're vulnerable to complications. One Alabama hospital recorded the instructions so patients could play them back later. This reduced the number of patients that had to be readmitted within 30 days. Steal that strategy by asking the nurse at discharge whether you can tape him or her with your smartphone. Also make sure you have these four things in front of you before you leave the hospital. A follow-up appointment. Your doctor or nurse may tell you to see your primary care doctor in 7 days. When you call, he or she can't see you for a month. Before you leave the hospital, ask someone there to call and make the appointment for you. 2. An updated list of medications with instructions on when and how to take them. Make sure you know which prescriptions you're supposed to continue and which ones you already took the day you are discharged. If you need new medications at the hospital, call them into your pharmacy. The number to call if you have questions. Ask how to get in touch with your specific doctor if you have questions after discharge. If you leave the hospital on a Thursday or Friday, get the number for the doctor who will be on call over the weekend. A list of red flags to watch for. Don't rely on the general handbelt the hospital gives you. Find out which specific symptoms may indicate your condition is getting worse and what to do if they occur. How to say it? Honestly, my memory isn't what it used to be. Do you mind if I tape you? Getting the best intel. Many websites have data to let you compare hospitals, and you should consult a variety of them, Dr. Pronovost says. Hospitals are complex, and different sites will capture different information. Start with these. Medicare.gov/hospital compare. This site allows you to compare up to 3 hospitals at a time while looking at 57 different variables. WhyNotTheBest.org, a nonprofit called iPro, ranks hospitals based on safety, quality of care, and the number of times they follow recommended practices for treating common conditions. HospitalSafetyGrade.org, the nonprofit LeapFrog group, it ranks hospitals on measures of safety based on data the hospitals voluntarily submit, as well as publicly available data on non-participating hospitals. Hospitals Germ Spots, the TV remote. In a Hughes University of Arizona study, the remote control had more bacteria than any other object in a hospital room. Elevator buttons. One study found that these were more germ-infested than the hospital toilet seats. Doctor stethoscope. Make sure it is sterilized before use. The telephone, the bed rails, the IV poles, the bedside chair and table, the meal tray, wipe it down before you eat, the call button, the toilet handle, the doorknobs, the faucet handle, and the wheelchair. The back and arms are especially germy. Laughter, the best medicine. At an art gallery, a man notices 2 similar still life paintings. Both show a table covered with a red and white checkered cloth topped by a bottle of wine, a loaf of bread, and a wheel of cheese. One painting is priced at $1,000, but the other is $1,500. Confused, the man says to the gallery owner, "These paintings look exactly alike. Why is one more expensive than the other?" The gallery owner posted the price of her painting and says, "That one has imported cheese." The most cutting thing you can say is, "Who's this clown?" Because it implies they're A, a clown, and B, not even one of the better-known clowns. An exercise for people who are out of shape. Begin with a 5-pound potato bag in each hand. Extend your arms straight out from your sides. Hold them there for a full minute and then relax. After a few weeks, move up to a 10-pound potato bag. Then try a 50-pound bag, and eventually you'll try to get where you can lift a 100-pound potato bag in each hand and hold your arms straight out for more than a full minute. Once you feel confident at that level, put a potato in each bag. A new favorite color, purple prose. Behold, intentionally bad first lines to non-existent novels from the annual Bulwer Lytton Fiction Contest. As Lewiston Creole plummeted down the sheery, icy cliff, he pondered on the word plummet, but his pondering was interrupted by the surface of the water, at which point he ceased to plummet and began to plunge. Baking under the blazing New Mexico sun, as he stood in the dusty street outside the saloon, Old West certified public accountant Arthur W. Fetterman, Jr. hovered his sweaty hand over the butt of his borrowed 6-gun, advanced another reluctant step toward the famed gunfighter John Wesley Hardin, and wondered for the 100th time what he had possessed him to correct the man's use of supposedly during a poker game. She was the most desired object in the room, not unlike the last deviled egg at an Easter Day potluck. How true. Sven, who rode his unicycle while training for the biathlon, thought the Triceratops was the most regal of dinosaurs, exercised in the quad of his apartment complex down the street from the Pentagon, sang in a sextet, had deviated septum, fought for fun in the octagon, seemed to have 9 lives and spent a decade living with the Aborigines, was the kind of man you could count on. Okay, Consumer Reports Money Saver, phones. What's the way to buy your new smartphone? There are so many vendors, promotions, and payment options, it's not very easy to identify the best deal on a new phone. If you're planning to buy your phone outright, simply comparing the manufacturer's price with the one your carrier is offering may be enough. But if you want to get a discount or trade in an old phone, It may not be so clear because some deals come with sneaky requirements. Crunching the numbers from every vendor can pay off. As an example, our chart below compares promotions for Samsung's latest release, the 59, the S9, from four large wireless carriers and manufacturers. In this case, the best value may be to buy or finance a model from Samsung itself. Samsung. Pay now, low-priced, unlocked or locked, $720 at Samsung. Interest-free financing over 24 months after 12 payments. A trade-in gives you credit toward a new phone and half the amount you initially financed. $300 deals and credits. $300 off when trading in a qualifying phone. If financed, the credit is spread over 24 months. What's the catch? In order to qualify for the upgrade program, you need to sign up for Samsung's Premium Carrier Protection Plan for $12 a month. If you go to T-Mobile for $720, it's locked. Interest-free financing for 30-month installments over 24 months. Up to $360 off when you trade in a qualifying phone. Don't get the discount up front. It comes in credits over 24 months. If you're new to T-Mobile, you'll also pay a $25 SIM card fee. AT&T, it's $790 for the phone. Interest-free financing and $26.34 installments over 30 months or $32.92 installments over 24 months. Up to $300, $95 off when you add a new line of service. To get the deal, the new line of service must cost $55 per month before discounts, and the phone must be financed. A $45 activation fee per line and a $45 restocking fee for a return may apply. By the way, when a phone is locked to a carrier, you can only with that carrier. When a phone is unlocked, you can use it with any carrier. And then we have Sprint at $792. Interest-free leasing for $33 installments over 18 months. After 12 payments, you can trade it in or pay the balance to own it. A lease one, get one free deal allows you to lease two S9 phones for one monthly payment. The free leased phone comes as a monthly credit on your bill, and one of the phones needs to be a new line service. A $30 activation fee is waived for online shoppers. And Verizon, it's $800. Interest-free financing and $33.33 installments over 24 months. A buy one, get one free deal allows you to finance two S9s for one monthly payment. It's really finance one, get one free. You must open a new line and finance the phone. The deal comes with a monthly credit. There's a $30 activation fee per line and a $35 restocking fee for most returns. How to protect your financial data after the Equifax breach. Roughly 148 million U.S. consumers were put at risk for identity theft last year when their sensitive financial data, including Social Security numbers and credit card and driver's license information, was hacked in a data breach at the credit reporting company Equifax. Yet in a recently nationally representative CR survey of 1,000 adults, more than half of those who were aware of the Equifax breach said they had nothing new in response to it. You can learn whether your financial information was compromised in the breach by going to EquifaxSecurity2017.com and clicking on Am I Impacted button. For security reasons, use only your own computer or one used exclusively by people you trust. After entering the last six digits of your Social Security number, the site will tell you whether your financial data is at risk. Whether or not you were affected, it's a good idea to freeze your credit reports at three major credit bureaus, recording companies, Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion, says Anna Latin, Director of Financial Policy at Consumers Union and Advocacy Division of Consumer Reports. A security freeze placed on your credit file will block most lenders from seeing your credit history, making the single most effective way to protect against a new account fraud. Latin points out that it's better to freeze your credit file than to use any of the credit locking services that are being offered by the credit reporting companies. Freezes carry the force of law. Locks are contractual agreements that don't offer the same level of protection. Consumers can freeze their credit reports at Equifax for no charge to June 30th, thanks in part to a petition Consumers Union presented to the company last year with more than 180,000 signatures. Placing or removing a freeze typically ranges from $0 to $12, depending on the credit reporting agency, the consumer's state of residence, and whether or not he or she has been a victim of identity theft. Remember that if you want to open a cell phone or credit card account to apply for a loan, you'll need to lift the freezes at each credit reporting agency, which can take as little as 15 minutes. To check your credit report for suspicious activity at no charge once a year, Go to annualcreditreport.com to freeze your credit at the three major credit cut corners. Go to the websites or call the numbers listed in the box at left, which I will read now. Equifax, freeze.equifax.com, 1-800-685-1111. New York residents call 1-800-349-9960. Experian.com/freeze/center.html, 888-397-3742. TransUnion, freeze.transunion.com, 888-909-8872. June is the best time to buy smartwatches. Keep an eye out for reduced prices on smartwatches, particularly older models. Cordless drills. For Father's Day, you'll see good deals on these and drill kits at home improvement stores. And pressure washers. Look for markdown on last year's models as you gear up for the season of power cleaning. Got a bunch of recalls, so let me run through these. Ford automobiles. Forders are calling about 292,000 2018 Ford 150, F650, and F750 and Expedition vehicles because of a clip that locks the gear shift cables to the transmission can become dislodged. This could allow the transmission to shift into a different gear position than the driver selects. For example, the shift could be in park when the transmission is actually in another gear. If the parking brake is not applied in this case, the vehicle could unexpectedly move, increasing the risk of a crash. What to do? Have the dealer inspect and verify that the shift cable locking clip was properly installed and adjust or secure as necessary. KID smoke alarms. KID is recalling about 452,000 dual-sensor photoelectric and ionization smoke alarms because a yellow cap left on during manufacturing can cover one of two sensors and impede the alarm's ability to detect smoke. The alarms were sold at stores and online from September 2016 through January 2018 for $20 to $40. What to do? Inspect the alarm through the opening on the side and look for a yellow cap. If you see it, call KID at 833-551-7739 or go to KID.com for further instructions and to request a free replacement. Garbage disposals. Incinerator is recalling about 1.4 million sink top switches because water can get into the power module, posing a fire hazard. The switches were sold at stores and online between 2005 and October 2017 for about $50 to $90. Note that garbage disposals activated by a wall switch are not included in this recall. What to do? Stop using the switch and call Incinerator at 855-215-5695 or go to incinerator.com and get a free power switch. Portable power banks. Amazon recalling about 260,000 Amazon Basics portable power banks because they can overheat and ignite, posing a risk of fire and burns. The lithium-ion packs were sold at Amazon, pop-up stores, and on the website for December 2014 through July 2017 for $9 to $40. What to do? Stop using the power banks immediately and call Amazon at 855-215-5134 or go to AmazonPowerBank.expertinquiry.com for instructions on how to return the pack and get a refund. Fire pits. Yayi is recalling about 58,000 Hampton Bay outdoor gas fire pit table patio heaters because the bowl base lacks a protective heat shield to prevent burns while you turn off the propane tank. The fire pits were sold at Home Depot stores and the website from August 2016 through November 2017 for about $200. What to do? Contact Yayi at 855-600-9294 or go to www.china-yayi.com to get a free repair kit and installation instructions. Ointment. First Aid Research is recalling about 500,000 maximum strength Biactricin Plus ointment with lidocaine because the packaging is not child-resistant, as required by law. The ointment contains lidocaine, which poses a risk of poisoning if young children put it on their skin or ingest it. The ointment can be sold at stores nationwide from January 2014 through November 2017 for about $9. What to do? Put the ointment out of reach of children and call United Exchange, the importer, at 888-645-8204, or go to thefirstaidresearch.com for instructions on how to get a full refund. Hair dryers. ISO Beauty is recalling about 73,000 Ionic Pro hair dryers because the cord becomes brittle when it attaches to the dryer and sparks, smoke, or even flame, posing a risk of burns. The dryers were sold online, including Amazon.com and Target.com, from March 2013 through January 2018 for $30 to $40. Stop using the dryer and call ISO Beauty at 1-800-490-5919 or go to isobeauty.com for instructions on removing the cord and to get a credit for a replacement product. Vornado Space Heaters. Vornado is recalling about 350,000 electric space heaters because they can overheat when in use and pose a risk of fire and burns. The heaters were sold in stores and online from August 2009 through March 2018 for about $30. Wow, 10 years. What to do? Stop using the heater and call Vornado at 855-215-5131 or go to Vornado.com and get a full run, refund, or a free replacement. Chainsaws. Hong Kong Sunrise Training is recalling about 48,100 cordless electric chainsaws, which include Greenworks, Cobalt, and Snapper brands, because the chain brake guard can fail and the chainsaw will continue operating, posing a risk of injury. The electric chainsaws were sold at stores and online from January 2015 to October 2017 for $170 to $300. What to do? Stop using the chainsaw and call Hong Kong Sunrise Trading at 888-266-7096 or go to greenworkstools.com to arrange for a free repair. Product update. Do-it-yourself carpet cleaning. If your rug take a beating, buying a carpet cleaner could be a smart move. Use our ratings to find the right model for you, plus follow our expert advice on how to remove the most pesky stains. And they have a picture of the Bizzle Pro Heat 2X Liftoff, which scored 71, and the Hoover Dual Power Max Pet, which cost $150 and scored a 65. Shoes, paws, feet. Your carpet faces a long line of grime every day. Regularly vacuuming removes loose debris, but no matter how diligent you are about running the sweeper, dirt and stains can, over time, become deeply embedded in the carpet's fibers, leaving your wall-to-wall with a distinctly dingy look. That's when you need the suds and suction power of a carpet cleaner. These machines are designed for cleaning deeply where there's a lot of foot traffic, says Jim Nanny, Consumer Reports Associate Director of Appliance Testing. They can pull ground-in dirt from the carpet fiber without damaging your carpets. Though they may resemble an oversized upright vacuum, carpet cleaners are another animal entirely. They pack a triple threat of water, detergent, and rotating brushes to gently agitate and chemically loosen stains and soil before pulling them out of the carpeting with powerful suction. Most carpet cleaners have two detachable tanks, one to hold the cleaning solution, water mix, before it's applied, and another to hold that mix after it has done its job and sucked up from the carpet. Carpet cleaners range in price from about $100 to nearly $500. Detergent is an additional expense. A gallon costs about $30 and enough to handle 2 to 4 rooms depending on their dimensions. There are slight variations in how carpet cleaners operate. They're all pretty simple to use. First, you push the machine back and forth a few times over a section of carpet while squeezing a trigger to release a cleaning solution that works with the brushes to remove dirt. A few more back and forth passes. With the trigger engaged, extracts most of the solution and dirt. You repeat the process elsewhere until the carpet is clean and really nearly dry. Some models also have a rinsing and drying modes. Then let the carpet dry completely before you walk on it or put the furniture back. Our test of carpet cleaners found that no one brand stands out across the board, and that paying more doesn't necessarily buy better performance. For example, the most expensive machine we tested, the $470 Bissell Big Green Machine Professional 86T3, rated only good, requires more detergent than its competitors to get the job done, and is noisy and doesn't dry well. The Hoover Dual Power Mix Pet FH5101 at $150 earned a rating of very good and left the carpets the driest of all our tested machines. Before you buy, keep these points in mind as you consider whether to add a carpet cleaner to your household. Not every known home needs one. A carpet cleaner makes the most sense for households that have carpeting that sees a lot of foot traffic, room to store yet another cleaning appliance, and owners who will use it a few times a year. Otherwise, you're probably better off renting a carpet cleaner from a home goods center or supermarket, or hiring a carpet cleaning service. Prep work is required. It's tempting to envision wheeling out your carpet cleaner, washing away the dirt and grime, and then tucking it away until the next time. In reality, there's a lot to do before you get into deep cleaning. You have to move furniture out of the way, vacuum the carpet, fill the tank with hot tap water and cleaning solution, pre-treat spots in heavily trafficked areas, and lay down plastic on wood floors adjacent to the carpet or area rugs to protect the wood. When you're done, you'll need to clean the tank and remove any debris from the brushes. Be ready for a workout. Because of their weight, some carpet cleaners are more strength to operate than other household appliances. On the showroom floor, these machines might seem no heavier than a vacuum. But remember that they rely on water solution up to 1.5 gallons to clean your carpets. When the tanks are full, the added weight can be significant. The lightest carpet cleaners from our test weighs 22 pounds with a full tank of solution, the heaviest 58 pounds when full. Just because a machine can hold more water doesn't mean it can clean more square feet. Be sure to check the manufacturer specifications for any model you're considering. Accessories matter. Machines that come with a carrying handle make it much easier to move the carpet cleaner from room to room or up and down stairs. Our testers also noted that hose length can vary widely. Some models have 61-inch hose, others have hoses as long as 120 inches. Considering a model with a longer hose if you intend to clean tough-to-reach areas or a flight of stairs, advised Larry Cuofo. If your stairs have carpeting, he says, you want to have a longer hose to safely and more easily reach up the steps. Rent, hire, or buy? How do the costs compare? Wondering which makes the most sense, renting a carpet cleaner, buying one, or hiring a service to do the work? The answer depends on your budget and how you want to spend your time. To provide an idea of the cost, we priced the options for a house in Kansas City, Missouri, with 1,600 square feet of carpeting and a living room, four bedrooms, an office, and two hallways. Renting. With Rug Doctor, you can rent a machine from a partner location, Home Depot or Walmart, for example, for about $30 a day. The cleaning solution costs about $17 for 48 ounces. You'll need three bottles of 1,600 square feet of carpet. Pre-treating solution starts at $6 each. Total was about $77 per cleaning. The hiring, Stanley Steamer, a contemporary that does everything, including moving your furniture, charges by the room. The minimum starts at $99, although that figure can vary depending on where you live. The total is $257 per cleaning. Buying, our running-up carpet cleaner, the Hoover Dual Power Max Pet, costs $150. Detergent to clean 1,600 square feet of carpeting in our house would cost about $60. The total is $150 plus $60 per cleaning. So while the initial cost of buying is higher, the overall cost of renting would be roughly the same around the fifth use. It's cheaper to own at the sixth use. Buying will always be less expensive than hiring a service. What makes a carpet cleaner clean? The solution tank. This tank is filled with clean hot water and detergent. Note if you use a detergent other than the recommended by the manufacturer, you may void the warranty. Some models have separate tanks for clean water and detergent, eliminating the need for pre-mixing. Brushes. Working with the solution, brushes help disengage embedded dirt from your carpet, making it easier for the machine to inhale debris. You need to let the bottom of your cleaner, including the brushes, dry completely before storing to keep mold and mildew from forming. The trigger. Dirt and stains can bond the carpet fibers. A carpet cleaner relies on the detergent solution and the gentle agitation of the brushes to loosen those bonds. Squeezing the trigger, located under the handle, releases a solution of water and detergent into the carpeting from a spray nozzle at the base. The dirty water tank holds the loosened soil and dirty solution that the cleaner sucks up. The hose. The carpet cleaner hose can be great for safely cleaning stairs, furniture, and drapes. Refer to the owner's manual for where to apply the hose to dispense and suction up solution on soiled fabrics most effectively. Out damn spots. Hit with a spill? Nancy Bakke, the American Cleaning Institute, shares tips to remove some of the most common and stubborn carpet stains by hand. Wine, juice, and soda. Act quickly. Gently blotting the wicked with a white cotton cloth, mix 4 cups of water, a tablespoon of dish soap, and a 1/4 cup of white vinegar, and apply using a clean sponge. Soak the area well with the mixture, allowing 5 to 10 minutes for it to work on the stain. Blot again, don't rub, with a clean cloth. Repeat these steps until the stain is gone. Paint. For water-based or latex-based paint stains, If the spot is still wet, blot with a white cotton cloth, damp it with warm water. A white cotton cloth is best for removing stains to ensure no transfer of dye. Repeat until the paint is gone. If the paint is dry, consider using a carpet cleaner to remove it. Grass. Dip a clean white towel in 1 cup of cold water mixed with 1/4 teaspoon of laundry detergent. Blot the stain gently and check to see whether the grass stain has transferred from the carpet to the towel. Blot and check where the stain is no longer visible. Changing towels is needed to avoid restaining the carpet. Pet poop. Remove the waste, then use an old spatula or butter knife or spackle tool to carefully lift any residue from the carpet. Soak the area with a laundry stain remover or other product designed for pet stains according to the manufacturer's instructions. Then use a clean wet sponge dampened with a combination of cold water and laundry detergent to blot the stain. Blood. Apply a small amount of cold water to the stain as quickly as possible and blot with a white cotton cloth. Never use hot water because it will set blood stain. Repeat until the stain is gone. Mud. Let the mud dry completely or it may become much more difficult to remove. Once it has dried, slowly vacuum over the area in all directions to pick up loose dirt. Soak a white cotton cloth in 1 cup of lukewarm water and 1 teaspoon of dish soap and apply. Then use a clean white cloth to blot the area. Repeat these steps until the stain is gone. Changing cloths is needed to avoid restaining the carpet. Oil or grease, and they have a picture of pizza because that's a good example. Some greasy stains can be removed with a dab of mild dish detergent. Apply a small amount with a white cotton cloth, then blot dry. If that doesn't remove the stain, apply a small amount of dry cleaning solvent. You can purchase it online. Using a cloth, blot, then rinse. If residue remains, sprinkle baking soda onto the spot and vacuum once it appears that the baking soda has absorbed the stain. And last but not least, pet urine, very common. Blot the urine with a white cotton cloth. Spray the area with 1 part white vinegar and 1 part water to neutralize the uric acid. Then mix 1 teaspoon of clear, mild, non-bleached laundry detergent into 4 cups of water and apply to the stain. Rinse with water, then press with a clean cloth over the area to absorb the water. Repeat these steps until the spot is completely gone. Sure, today's phone cameras are great, but a well-chosen advanced point-and-shoot offers more control, versatility, and quality for those occasions when it really counts. Camera ready. Wasn't all that long ago that most people owned a dedicated camera, because, of course, who ever heard of taking photos with a phone? Today, 77% of the population owns a smartphone, and the camera quality has improved so much that it's often all you need to get a really beautiful shot that's worthy of sharing online or even printing. So why think about getting a real camera ever again? Plenty of reasons, depending on the kind of photos you want to take and where. Consider, if you're embarking on a once-in-a-lifetime safari in South Africa or want to capture your daughter's breakout season on the basketball team, a camera phone can leave you disappointed. Why? First of all, even with the best of them, can't effectively zoom in from across the gym, let alone a stretch of savanna. That's because camera phones have small, fixed wide-angle lenses that barely protrude from the phone body, rendering them no match for the powerful telephoto lenses on many standalone cameras. And smartphone cameras can falter when the lighting is poor. In that situation, says Arthur Patrick, the weakness of camera phones becomes obvious. Dim lighting isn't reserved for caves and basements either. It's the lighting you have when you're taking a dance floor with your daughter on her wedding day, or when your 5-year-old puffs his cheeks to blow out his birthday candles, or when you're going for a walk along a pier at sunset. In all those cases, a camera phone can leave you with an image that's grainy and gloomy, where the details smear into a dark blue. What advanced means? If you're thinking about buying a standalone camera, you'll be confronted with an enormous range of choices and prices. We think most consumers trading up from a camera phone will be very pleased with the grouping we call advanced point-and-shoots. These cameras don't let you swap lenses in and out the way you can with a standard SLR, the bulk of camera ties used by professional photographers and many dedicated amateurs, but they do tend to be lighter than SLRs and less expensive, too. And they have big advantages over the basic compact phone and shoots. Point and shoots. You may remember from 20 years ago the new cameras give you manual controls, letting you have fun experimenting with shutter speed and aperture. For serious hobbyists, another advantage is that they can save pictures in a file format, useful for photo editing. Most important, advanced point-and-shoots have sharp lenses and large image sensors to need to capture shots in various lighting conditions, photos you'll be proud to share on Instagram and make it an oversized art. As for the price range, some of these cameras cost $400 or less, but the best performing ones in our test cost more than that. The highly rated Canon PowerShot GTX Mark II, for instance, sells for $650, and our top rated Sony CyberShot RX10 goes for $1,200. Way to shop smart. First, decide how much zoom you want. Two cameras in our ratings have lenses that go from 24mm to 600mm, which will zoom in by 20 times. That's plenty for wildlife photography or your child's soccer game. The trade-off is that you'll need to put up some added weight and bulk. These aren't cameras you'll be slipping into your pocket. Second, handle several models in a store if you can. Cameras vary in weight, shape, and location of the controls. If you want a model that feels good in your hands and that you find intuitive to use. And last, having an easy-to-use smartphone app can make it much easier and more fun to share your masterpieces. So go online to the manufacturer's website and watch a video showing how a camera works with its app for posting photos or texting them to friends and family. You'll also find other useful how-to information there. One reason people love smartphone cameras is the photos taken with them are so easy to share. But it's getting simpler to share photos from a dedicated camera, too. You can wirelessly connect to any of the cameras in our advanced point-and-shoot ratings with your phone in just a few steps. That lets you transfer pictures for posting online, testing, or emailing. And you can also set up your camera for a family portrait, then use your phone to snap the photo once you squeeze in with the group. First thing you need to do is download your camera manufacturer's mobile app. And then you next to go to your camera and activate Fi-Fi using the camera setting. This enables the camera to set up its own mini Wi-Fi network, which can connect with your smartphone just the way you join any Wi-Fi networks. Once all that's done, you can transfer photos to your phone's camera roll one at a time or in a group. That allows you to email, text, or post them to social media just like any other photo. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's broadcast of the Reader's Digest Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after this broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org. We would like to thank all of our past sponsors for their generous contributions to the Reading Service. If you have any comments or questions or would like to be a sponsor, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much for listening.